Hello, friends from the internet. Welcome one more week to Alili. How are you guys? Hope you had a nice week. Hope you had a Halloween weekend, and maybe you celebrated this weekend, because as we all know, Halloween is on Tuesday. Yeah, really bad day. But maybe you celebrated this week, or you celebrated last weekend. Hopefully you celebrated and got like a nice costume. Well, because this is our last episode of the Halloween special, I had to do a difficult decision for this week's episode. Either a really Halloween-esque movie that I have many, or we go into another really big holiday that will happen this week. So, we are doing that. If you read the title of this episode, it is no other than Coco! So yeah, of course, we have to talk about Coco, and this week is none other than the week of Día de los Muertos. So if you are in Mexico, or if you are a Mexican audience, I got you guys. So get comfy, get your favorite drink, or walk around, whatever you do when you hear the podcast, and let's start! Despite his family baffling generation-old band of music, Miguel dreams of becoming an accomplished musician like his idol Ernesto de la Cruz. Desperate to prove his talent, Miguel finds himself in the stunning and colorful land of the dead, following a mysterious chain of events. Along the way, he meets charming trickster Hector, and together they set off on an extraordinary journey to unlock the real story behind Miguel's family history. Okay, let's start with some information about the movie and how it came to be. So the original idea for the film came to Anchorage when he was on a 2011 family vacation at Disney's Epcot. He was going around on the Pavilion of Mexico. He was like riding the boat and he passed a mariachi skeleton band, and that triggered the idea, oh, we should tell a story about this Mexican culture and this Día de los Muertos specifically. So of course he pitched the idea to the head of Pixar at the moment. We will not say names, but that person. And he was like, okay, this is a great idea, let's go with it. This movie, it took 6 years in the making. So they started in 2011, but the script had so many changes during the years, and they had to really be coherent with what they wanted to do. And during the creation of Coco, that was another movie about exactly the Día de los Muertos. So in 2014, the director Jorge Gutierrez did The Book of Life. There was like a lot of similitudes on what he wanted to do in Coco, and then what this movie did already. So a big misstep that the studio made when starting the production of this movie Coco, they didn't know what the title would be, and they wanted the title to be Day of the Dead, so Día de los Muertos. And that caused a lot of issues, specifically because it's kind of like Disney trying to appropriate Day of Mexican culture. Obviously, people were not happy, and they signed a petition against Disney, drawing 20,000 signatures to just change the name. And like, dude, this is cultural appropriation, so don't do that. The director, Oakridge, obviously was really remorseful of what he did and what he was trying to do, because maybe that wasn't his goal. You never know with these people, but you never know. And he said like it ended up being kind of a blessing in disguise for the studio, because it caused to really up their game. So they had to make sure that this film was as respectful as possible and to be as accurate as possible to the culture, and not being like another movie that it just misrepresents people of a certain culture that they don't know. So Pixar decided to work with a team of cultural advisors. So there was Marcela Davison Aviles, playwright Octavio Solis, and political cartoonist Lalo Alcaraz. And this latest one, Lalo Alcaraz, happened to be one of the ones that was outraged by the title that they were trying to put, Day of the Dead. And he did a cartoon of a rampaging Mickey Mouse skeleton destroying a city and calling it Muerto Mouse. So yeah, they got people for it. So one of the difficulties with the movie, especially because it was a movie that they wanted to get everywhere with it. So Día de los Muertos is culturally a specific holiday for Mexican culture. And not only Mexican culture, there is other countries in Latin America that do Día de los Muertos, but not at the same way that Mexicans do it. They were kind of like not sure how to treat this theme, because they had to assume that great percentage of the people that they were seeing this movie will not know what is Día de los Muertos about, or that day, how they do it, and what is every little single detail. So they decided to kind of like give it organically on the movie. So if you see the movie, you will see many times they explain, like the characters explain to Miguel what is these things for. So they explain that Día de los Muertos is a day to remember our ancestors, our family. It's a day of family, and it's the day that they can come back to the land of the living to say hi to us. So it was a difficult concept to get to other people. But I think like they managed to do it really well, especially if you see the movie, you see many parts where they explain everything, even like really cultural things. So I think it's well portrayed. I'm not Mexican, obviously, but you know, I really love this culture and I love Día de los Muertos, how I see it in pictures. And I think like that translation of the beautiful Day of the Muertos that they have there is really well portrayed, and almost all the cultural things are right. In the movie, also talking about culture, you can see that it incorporates Mexican music genres like mariachis and, well, mariachis in general, but they also include huapango, jarocho, ranchera, baladas, all the classics of the golden era of Mexican cinema. And you can see the golden era of Mexican cinema when we see Ernesto de la Cruz in all these different movies. So that was the golden times. Also, we can see they add many references, historical Mexican characters on the movie in different times. But we see El Santo, we see Frida Kahlo, we see Pedro Infante, Jorge Negrete, these huge characters of Mexican culture in the movie, maybe in just a few scenes and stuff like that. So we know that Pixar did a deep research on the culture of Mexico, and they did it as well for the movie about Colombia. So they did the same, like the original, the blueprint was Coco. They went there and they saw how it was, how the country was, how the people interact, how everything was, and they, so that they can portray it the perfect way on the movie. They also added like an iconic Mexican ballad that is La Llorona. That song is amazing, guys. You have to hear it whenever you can, or in the movie, and like really well portrayed. And there have been so many artists that have redone this song their way, but like it's really a beautiful song, and I love how it's played on the movie. In the movie, they also had like a really respected actor, Mexican actor, that is Gael García Bernal, really well known in all Latinx community. He has been in so many movies, and he did like the starring role in Amores Perros, so everyone knows it by that one, or maybe some other one, but like I think like that one was the big one. And yeah, his voice is amazing as he plays Hector, Miguel's great-grandfather. Spoiler alert! They also have the fantastical creatures, so the alebrijes, that is really Mexican folk tradition. They seem to really nail it, like the construction of the alebrijes. I also read about that the alebrijes on Coco were made from different parts of different Pixar creatures. So creatures from Monster Inc, creatures from Toy Story. So if you see it like more in detail, the alebrijes on Coco are made from different characters that were animals, Pixar movies. You know that. Now, let's talk about Easter eggs, because all Pixar movies have a lot of Easter eggs. Let's start. First Easter egg. So remember the scene when Miguel is watching the road through his window and then a van passes by? Did you see the van correctly? Yes, it is Pizza Planet's delivery truck that first appeared in 1995's Toy Story. This van, if you know, those cameos in all Pixar movies in different things, in Bug's Life, Finding Nemo, in Wall-E, so many others. So you like that truck? It's everywhere. Easter egg number two. If you see when Miguel is going to the plaza where all the mariachis are, you can see in the corner in a house, in the top of a house, there are a lot of piñatas, I think. And it's all Pixar characters, piñatas. So we have Buzz Lightyear, Woody, we have Mike Wazowski, and some others that I cannot really see, but all of them are Pixar. Yoo-hoo! Easter egg number three, and another cameo of Pixar characters is in when Miguel taps on the table where a lot of alebrijes are. We can see a lot of little fishes, little animals, aquatic animals, and we can see Nemo and Dory and the sharks and so on. So like, they are all there in the alebrijes stand. For Easter egg, Miguel is playing on the music contest in The Land of the Dead. We can see shortly an appearance of a guy that has like a skull t-shirt. So if you remember really good the stuff, in Toy Story you had the bad guy that is called Sid, and he had a t-shirt just like that. So we assume that this guy is maybe Sid from Toy Story 1, that is now dead. Great. Easter egg number 5. If you see also on the plaza where Miguel is playing the contest on the Land of the Dead, we can see a poster of a certain movie that you will know, that is The Incredibles. But they all have skeleton forms. So yeah, they say that they were trying to do some marketing for The Incredibles because that was the next movie that Pixar released, so The Incredibles 2. There you go. And now, let's talk about something fun, like fun facts. So here they are. Fun fact number one. Did you notice that in The Land of the Dead, the only living plants are the marigolds, or otherwise called cempasúchil? These marigold flowers are a representation of the Mexican culture, obviously, but this means that they guide the spirits of the loved ones to their home, how they explain it at the beginning when the mom is launching the petals. But yeah, this is the only living plant in The Land of the Dead. Fun fact number two. Did you know that Dante was not supposed to be at the beginning? They were inspired by it later, the character, because the trip they did to Mexico for research, they saw a lot of cholo dogs and they were like inspired to do a character like that. So there you go, Dante's here. And also, cholo dog is the national dog of Mexico, and it was owned by two famous artists that are Frida Kahlo and Diego Rivera. Third fun fact. So as I said before, the movie took 6 years to get done, so they started in 2011, and because of this, Pixar announced it that year, and many fans thought that the show was dropped, like the idea was dropped, because they didn't hear about it since 2011, and they just heard that it was going to get out on 2016. So Coco holds the record for Pixar's longest production schedule. Ta-jam! 4 fun fact. Did you know that even Chinese censors were moved by the film? So yeah, in China, they have some board of censor and they check the films and see what they need to maybe rearrange so that they can put it on the cinema. So, there are some themes and ideas in Coco that would usually be banned by China and be removed from the film. The Chinese censors were so moved by the film as a whole that they decided to not make any cuts and they just allowed the film to be released as it is in China. Ooh. Fifth fun fact. So the animators made the guitar playing scenes as accurate as possible. It looks like the animators had videos of the guitarists that were playing the songs and they studied really well so that the animation on the characters that were playing the guitar, so Miguel, Hector, and I think Ernesto de la Cruz, they will have the propping chords. Amazing. Six fun fact. So appropriately, this was Pixar's first movie to feature an on-screen death of a major character. So considering the movie has a lot of the concept of death and grief because it's talking about Dia de los Muertos, it's really appropriate that Coco was the first movie to have a death on screen. Because they had so many ones, and not only the major character Ernesto de la Cruz that he gets crushed by a bell, but also like Hector got poisoned by him and we see him die, and we also have the concept of the final death when his friend Chicharrón dies, well, not dies but gets forgotten. And just disappears. So the final death. There were a lot of concepts of death on this movie. And it was like the first Pixar movie that did this. And also, so you know, co-director Lee Unkrich said on Twitter that Ernesto didn't technically die. Because when the bell falls on him, everyone thought like he's dead. He's really, really dead. But he was already dead. So he cannot die. There you go. 7 fun fact. Did you know like the actor that plays Miguel was supposed to be only a temporary casting choice? So Anthony Gonzalez plays Miguel and initially he was cast to do the temporary voice of Miguel so the animators could work while they were casting someone, real actor. But the team really loved how Anthony Gonzalez did his performance and really liked his voice and how he did Miguel, that they gave him the role afterwards. And also because Gonzalez was such a talented singer, they added some singing scenes for Miguel. And originally he was only going to play the guitar. So great choice! 8th and final fun fact. Did you know that Coco is technically Pixar's first musical? Because it's this movie that has a lot of musical numbers. Even though they don't play as a musical, like they don't drop in a song all the time. But it's the first Pixar movie that has musical elements to it. And apparently it was conceived to be a full-blown musical. So it was supposed to be kind of like a Disney musical. If you remember Frozen, kind of like that. They just burst into song in whatever moment. But because the movie is so centered on Dia de los Muertos and the concept of death and all these really important things, the weird part was to do it as a musical because they had at the beginning a scene where Abuelita was jumping into a song to explain why the family forbids music. She will sing and dance, so that will be weird and it will not make sense. They decided to just cut this off and just get like specific songs that are more like we are performing a song and we're not like singing our life. Different. Well guys, this is pretty much everything for this week's episode. Hope you like it, hope you watch Coco. If you have Disney Plus, just go into Disney Plus, put Coco and press play. Just press play. easy as that. And yeah, this movie, I really recommend it. Do it this week, as you have the both elements of the Halloween vibes and the Día de los Muertos that is coming this week. So please enjoy it. Love this movie as much as I loved it. Or at least you watch it and you know what you like. There you go, guys. Remember, we have our Instagram page where we show you fun facts about movies, and they are really cool and have really good insights, so go watch it. We are us at Aleli de Colores Podcast, and if you don't know what I'm saying, go down on your description on the episode and I will put it right there. Or if you like, you can also go down on the webpage of the podcast and it will put you directly to my Instagram so that you can see cool fun facts and some other cool things about our episodes. Remember to follow, subscribe, comment, and share with your friends. We love friends. Hope you like this Halloween month special on the podcast, and you know you will have one special for Christmas as well. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast, and see you next week, guys. Bye, friends.